You do not have to be good. You only have to let the soft animal of your body loves what it loves. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination. I wanted to offer this poem this morning as some reassurance. Reassurance that we're enough, that our imaginations are enough, that no matter how hard it is to think about and to realize how far we have gone in the destruction of our planet, that our imaginations are still enough. And there's a tie in for me that's generational somehow that I haven't quite parsed out. But when I was searching for a piece to offer in terms of us being the ancestors for future generations of our Earth, which is what I want to talk about today, this poem came to mind. Brings me to thinking about ancestors, maybe how they've walked the Earth, what their imaginations have offered. So when I think of my ancestors, I usually think of those who came before me, right? Directly. First of all, those people in my direct lineage, mom and dad, aunts and uncles, omi, großmutti, most of whom have passed from this life now. And then I think of the people who came before them and who they knew in their lifetimes, right? Who mom and dad and omi and großmutti knew, grandkin and great grandkin, and beyond that, generations and generations, all tied in a web of blood and tradition. And then I think of other elders, living and gone from us, people who have invited me into their families, people who have guided me and shaped me, people who have helped me find my values through nurturing and through opposition, people with whom I'm not tied by blood, but by the perhaps stronger bonds of shared experience, of deep open-heartedness, and of wounds made and healed. The web of kinship holds in all directions, including beyond us toward our younger generations and those whose kin have not yet been born, those for whom we are ancestors. We're bound in relationship not only to those who've come before us, who've helped us make us who have helped make us who and what we are, but to those who come from us and after us. They who turn and will turn to us for guidance and hope will live on this planet after we are gone. That is to say, my friends, that now is the time. We humans, and we know this, we humans are the most powerful agents of change on our planet. We have invented and spread technology that's helped us to see and understand that we've grown out of this universe and this Earth and are still connected to it. It has allowed us to feel awe and wonder at what we have come to understand in the ways that Mary Oliver expresses them. Telescopes, even just binoculars to look at the night sky and get a tiny bit of understanding how massively huge our universe is. Microscopes to see down to the subatomic level. Medicines and knowledge to help our lives be longer and easier. Electricity and natural gas and economic systems that can keep us warm and fed. Machines that can move mountains to get at anything we want below. Huge complexes that can make anything we could possibly want. All of these things are incredible and have come out of our own imaginations. And they've changed not only how we live, but where we live. So we have a job to do, those of us who can see and appreciate and know all of these things. We have a job to do for those for whom we are ancestors, And it's time. It's time now to decide what they will learn from us and remember of us. In the midst of this pandemic, when we're reminded of how dependent we are upon each other, whether we have served or failed each other, we're being given what I think might be one last opportunity to turn it around. So much awareness is being awoken around us, particularly in this past year when we're paying attention to things differently. So it's being awoken around us and within us, and it's building. Last year's Minneapolis City Council voted to shift $8 million of police funding to expand other services, including violence prevention and mental health crisis response teams. And last week's conviction of George Floyd's murderer. Neither of those things happened suddenly. It took a decade of work by activists to raise awareness and debunk myths about defunding the police. On the heels of centuries of Black, Indigenous, and other people of color working for their own liberation to get even to this point, as well as action in solidarity by white folks. And it took more than just resistance to an unjust system, though that is what we often say when we're in the streets with our fists up. But it took more than resistance. It took imagining and reimagining. And the same is true for Earth Justice. It will take a reimagining of our world and our habits within it to avert disaster. And it will take more than personal choices. Don't get me wrong, recycling, reusing, using bicycles and hybrid cars and public transportation, reusable grocery bags and water bottles, all those things are helpful and they make change. But just like learning that overcoming our personal biases isn't enough to eliminate the structures that continue to do harm to our BIPOC siblings, we have to learn that our personal work to be green isn't enough to end the environmental damage that's destroying our home. It's way bigger than that. Scientific American reported in March of last year, as we were becoming aware of the seriousness and reach of the COVID-19 pandemic, that, quote, a number of researchers today think that it is actually humanity's destruction of biodiversity that creates the conditions for new viruses and diseases like COVID-19. With profound health and economic impacts in rich and poor countries alike. In fact, they wrote, a new discipline, planetary health, is emerging that focuses on the increasingly visible connections among the well-being of humans, other living things, and entire ecosystems. Simply put, this new field of study focuses on these newly and increasingly visible connections between us that we know exist, including the spread of viruses and other pathogens from the ever-shrinking natural world. The article quotes Kate Jones, the chair of ecology and biodiversity at University College London, as saying that diseases moving from animals to humans is, quote, a hidden cost of human economic development. There are just so many more of us in every environment. We are going into largely undisturbed places and being exposed more and more. We're creating habitats where viruses are transmitted more easily, and then we're surprised we have new ones. Hard news. This is on top of the other things we know, that our collective impact on the Earth and the climate has been to warm it to the very edge of their capacity to support human life. That the infrastructures we've built, combined with our focus on progress over sustainability, are destroying not just the habitat for millions of plants and animal species, but ours. And so on top of all the conscientious personal choices we're making, we need to take collective action. We need to not just lobby our current representatives, but work to put people into power who will be proactive in making changes that end destructive practices, like the Minneapolis activists who worked to change enough seats on their city council that defunding the police was actually a viable option. And more than that, more important than that, we need to re-envision, reimagine life on our earth. We need to think about, ask ourselves, ask each other, what a healthy planet full of healthy systems actually might look like, and then work toward that. Resistance isn't enough. In an American Scientist article called Ancestors of Apollo, Dennis Danielson traced a path from Copernicus in the early 1500s, reimagining the sun as the center of our solar system rather the earth. Traced a path from that through the learnings of other mathematicians and then astronomers and physicists to the landing of Apollo 11 on the moon in 1969. Danielson wrote that it was the work of the early ancestors that made it possible for later generations to even imagine space travel, and said that our job is to dream of what might be possible and pave the way for it to happen. So what might a Madison that's committed to the health and wellness and safety of all its people look like? Our housing, our shopping, our transportation, our healthcare. What might a nation that's dedicated to peace and justice and sustainability look like? What might it look like to inspire our nation to be dedicated to peace and justice and sustainability? How might we get around differently? How might we work differently? How might we use and distribute and access resources differently? How might our spiritual and mental and physical health be supported differently? It's all tied together. Dr. Enrique Salmon is an anthropologist who teaches American Indian studies and studies and writes about indigenous ethnobotany, agriculture, nutrition, and traditional ecological knowledge. In an article for the Center for Humans and Nature called "I Want the Earth to Know Me as Friend," he wrote, "To become an ancestor, you must first have lived. I want to be the kind of ancestor who's known by the earth as a friend and a relative. I want the earth to hear the songs I sing to it. I want it to appreciate my garden of ancestral foods that I grow in a manner that returns nutrients to the land. I want the earth to recognize my friendship through the way I move across the land, my visits to the local farmers market, my choice of products to use, and my care in reuse and recycling. I want the earth to feel my kinship when I take the time to teach others how to develop a relationship with a landscape and to behave as a good, caring relative." What might that look like? All of us. So as we come out of this pandemic and prepare for what lies ahead, I urge us to also prepare to work to make collective change in how we humans live on this earth. Let's take what we've learned about this year, about our own survival, about how the earth has been our friend during this hard time, and how we've made a smaller impact on our home as the impact of COVID-19 has kept us in our houses. I'm not saying let's stay in our houses, but let's think about what we've learned from that. Let's imagine a safer, cleaner, viable earth home. We are deeply creative, imaginative beings who care about those to whom we are ancestors. I have faith that we can take this opportunity to make the change that will save us and them. May it be so. And may we be so.